Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Chicago offense.
Matt Forte, Tulane University.
Touchdown Bears! A dramatic catch by Matt Forte.
Forte. 50-yard run for a touchdown.
You know, and just watching Matt Forte on film, watch him here. He can make those jump cuts. I mean, he can plant that left foot and then jump way over to the right and then plant the right foot and go upfield again.
10-year NFL veteran.
They kind of are doing whatever they want with the running game. I'm almost jealous. I'm like, I want to get out there and run through one of them holes, man. Like, this is too good. I'm missing out.
Two-time Pro Bowl selection.
Phillip Rivers is getting ready to go play.
If they signed me to the practice squad, I don't know what would happen out there. It would be interesting, though. I know that.
Yeah.
But with him being signed and being out of football for the last 5 years, I think.
Yes.
It might get ugly out there. I ain't gonna lie, because you got to be able to move around, bro. Like, and I'm turning 40 tomorrow, and bruh, hey, it's not a, these guys is not playing with you out there. You know, he loves the game of football that much that he's just like, look, let me live on the field, and if it happens, it happens.
Underrated, but I still be scoring. Matt Forte with Spiegel and Holmes.
I think we're on record of how important Matt is
on 670 The Score.
He's important to our show, too. He joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Big Ant Heron is in for Speegs, and Matt Forte now joining us here on The Score. Matt, what's happening, man?
What up, fellas? How y'all doing?
We are well. We are doing really well. And how are you doing after watching the Bears do what they needed to do against Cleveland and handling Myles Garrett and everything else?
I'm really good. That's how you respond after, you know, a tough loss up there in Green Bay, and that you know that you got them coming up. You want to take advantage of a team that you can dominate like that, and they did, you know, especially all around, you know, offense, defense, and special teams. And, I mean, five sacks, that's something. I'm not sure if they've had five sacks in one game all year long, but that's what you want to do. Sack the quarterback, take the ball away, and then on offense, doing well, three out of four in the red zone. So you got to execute there. So they got to continue on that wave and go forward this week against the Packers.
For you, Matt, you were able to be such a factor in so many different ways throughout your career. And when the Bears offense is facing a player anywhere near the caliber of Myles Garrett, there's only a few humans who've been near that caliber for the stratosphere he's in right now. But your role as a running back, and trying to make sure your QB is going to be comfortable, and how you can effort that via pass protection, via the screen game. Is there a kind of a contemporary from your playing career that you just kind of remember, all right, when we face that defensive end or that defensive lineman, my job isn't just carrying the rock. I got to make sure that that individual doesn't wreck our day.
Yeah, at one point, it was every defensive end just because our line wasn't that good at one point. But, I mean, even in our division, Jared Allen, you know, every time we saw him twice a year, especially when it was up there on the turf, I just had to make sure I was – even on plays where I wasn't supposed to scan backside, I would scan backside. And sometimes if I saw he was, you know, a guy getting beat early, I'd go over there and make sure I chipped on the other side. And, you know, sometimes you just, you know, even though your job may not be that may not be required of you on that particular play, sometimes I would get out early too, you know, get out on the pass route early just to be a viable check down option. But yeah, like Jared Allen, and it was like a lot of guys that were solid, but maybe not super well known within the NFL. But, you know, these tough defenses, you know, you had interior guys like Ndamukong Suh, Nick Fairley, that was, you know, that kind of tandem, as well as the Williams Wall up there in Minnesota. But then let's see, Green Bay had guys on the outside as well. I mean we played when Julius Peppers left us and went over there too. So, you know, you always got to watch Julius. You know, that's a monster of a human being out there. But I'm excited for what they did, and I'm proud of what they did. I mean, 1.5 sacks on by Myles Garrett, but he's definitely the best in the league right now. But to, you know, to hold him to that is, you know, something that he's gonna get out there. He can fall out of bed and get a couple sacks, but that's a hard accomplishment that they did. But they didn't let it take over the game.
I loved the approach, and when I was charting the game, I kept putting parenthetically, it was like they ran away from Myles Garrett. They ran away from Myles Garrett, and I loved it. I loved that they had him chasing backside on a lot of their run plays, and I get it. Like, you want to balance out your run game, but some people think that the way to go against a great pass rusher is to run right at him. I like that Ben Johnson said, no, you're going to chase all of these runs, and we're going to do our best to tire you out play after play. And when we're not trying to just tire you out, we're cutting you on the backside of these plays. And as Big Ant knows from being an NFL guy and a college defensive end, they love that, Matt. They love those guys. They love it when they're on the backside of a play and someone comes across and cuts them. They love it.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things that is it annoys everybody. As a running back, as a tall running back, I hate it when DBs come in and go low. I'd immediately get up and be like, you know, what's up with that? Like, you see I'm in the pile with, you know, guys on top of me, and you go low. You know, that's just literally a low blow. But it's something that, especially when you are, you know, going against a premier pass rusher, there's some guys that are premier pass rushers that don't want anything to do with the run. I do like Myles Garrett. Nah, that's a big dude. He's going to play the run, and he does it well. So for Ben Johnson to do it that way, it was smart, you know, have him chasing down the plays, getting him tired, but also annoying him with going down and having guys go and cut block at him. Whether they get him down or not, if you can slow him up for just that tick a second, it's hard to make that tackle backside when you're doing outside inside zones, and I'm looking for the backside cut.
For where this offense is at right now, with Ben Johnson running it and Caleb Williams just seemingly like every couple of weeks, you can just kind of tell that there's more processing speed in his brain right now, just kind of catching up to where Ben Johnson wants him to operate within the framework, but then he can still color outside the lines also. What did you appreciate most about that game he played against the Browns?
I think I appreciated the ability for him to recognize that, and that he can still go and, as you put it, color outside the lines and be creative. At the same time, though, I don't want him to get too comfortable resting on that or relying on that, because the one that he threw to DJ Moore, everybody in the stands and on TV probably or watching was like, oh, no. Yes, because it worked out. But honestly, I don't know who that safety was that missed the ball, but he might be getting cut next week, because he definitely should have intercepted or blocked that and it went right through his hands. But, you know, those are things that and when it works out, it's like, oh, it's great. But that throwing across your body into the end zone, it 99% of the time does not work out well for the offense. But that time it did. But I just don't want to get a false sense of confidence in that. That can always be the case, especially entering into the late in the season. And, you know, obviously when you get into playoff ball, them type of things is not going to be happening. But I am, you know, continually impressed by the ability to grow in this offense each and every game, because that's not always the case. Sometimes there's plateaus and sometimes guys take steps back, but I'm liking that this is going in a steady direction.
You brought it up last week when we were talking about the Bears passing game and DJ Moore and getting him more involved. Obviously, he was more involved this past week. Now, that might have been a byproduct of the fact that Rome got hurt in warmups before the game, but still, what does it do when you have a guy that you know can make plays and you work hard to try and get him the ball to let him make plays?
Yeah, I think that the guy is more motivated as well on that aspect. But then at the same time, he's one of the guys, if you're like me, I'm like, I got to take advantage of every opportunity I get on one of these plays. And, you know, I said, like I said last week, man, if you got a guy like DJ and they're singling him up, you got to take advantage of that, those matchups where we're trying to get him the ball. And I think a good thing is that, you know, Loveland is coming along, as well as other receivers like Luther as well. And even without Rome being out there, there's going to be opportunities to get DJ the ball. And we just got to make sure that that happens and happens more often.
For DeAndre Swift and this Bears run game in general, it's been great to watch the offensive line gel, but it looks to me like there's so much more detail to this version of DeAndre Swift than certainly than the one we saw last season. But at any point that I've watched him play throughout his career, it just looks like there's a detail to the footwork, to knowing when to time up, being fast through the hole and bursting to the second level. As you watch him in particular and just seeing the style of play that seems beyond anything we've seen before, where are the areas that you've watched DeAndre Swift grow?
Yeah, I think in the style of the running game, because that does change with coordinators and coaches, but then also the blocking schemes as well. I like that Ben in this offense too, and whoever is run game coordinator, they take advantage of the angles that they have, because that's important. Like you can be the best offensive lineman out there, but sometimes angles aren't in your favor. But when they are, it just opens, it allows you to, you know, secure your block a lot more, a lot earlier, so that holes develop themselves quicker and you're able to press the line of scrimmage because there's no penetration back there. So, man, I've seen him grow in the aspect of trusting the play, where he's not having to dodge people in the backfield, or where maybe when that does happen, he's still able to trust the play earlier or later in the game to where he's not giving up on the play. But then also just being elusive, like that's what he can do. That's his strong suit, is being able to get to the second and third level and be elusive out there to break tackles, to make either the home run hit or to make explosive plays. And it's something that I think in the past people were kind of losing faith in his ability to do it. But I think now that the holes are there and the running lanes are opening, you can see that he hasn't lost that ability to do it.
Micah Parsons is gone for a long time, and it's too bad because he's a great player. But as far as the Bears are concerned, they're trying to win a division, so they're not going to feel bad for anybody. How do you expect the Packers' looks will change, and are there any things that the Bears can do offensively that can reflect Micah not being there?
Yeah, whenever you have, especially good defensive coordinators, whenever you have a loss of the caliber or the type of player that Micah Parsons is, obviously it's not going to be easily replaceable or replaceable at all. But what they have to do is to try to create pressure. So what a defensive coordinator is going to do is try to manufacture pressure probably throughout the blitz and the blitz packages, and trying to do that and trying to keep running backs in during the passing game, to, you know, sending the guys up the A-gap. One of the things I hated was not that I had to block in the A-gap, but because it took me out of the passing game. If guys were mugged in the A-gap and they were constantly blitzing, or we had to slide the line, you know, full slide and let the defensive end go free, it was hard to get free releases out there. So I think that's when the play action is going to have to come into play. The running game is going to be essential. But also within the passing game, hopefully this lines up a lot more single coverage and matchups on not only all the receivers, but DJ as well, to open him up. Because if you manufacture pressure from different areas, that you can't double team guys.
The Bears, the Ben Johnson run game is so outside zone focused, but there's a lot of gap scheme within their run game as well. And you see angles and trappers coming across. And it's really impressive to me to see that they can execute both versions at a high level. And it's not as easy as they make it look, Matt. Which one was your preferred style offensively to run in? And how difficult is it for folks to help less listeners realize that the Bears are doing a wide variety of run at a high level, and not everyone can do that?
Yeah, I'd say all of it. All of it. Gap scheme, zone, ISOs, all of that stuff was my favorite, because you can't get a beat on exactly defensively what we're doing. Keeps you on your toes. It allows them not to anticipate things, which makes it in a game that's built on speed and power, it makes us that much more advantageous as an offense that they can't anticipate whether we're doing a lot of zone or gaps or ISOs and things like that. So, man, I love the trap plays because they're quick hitting where guys think they can't just rush up the field. And then also zone schemes as well because they have to deal with the double teams from the down linemen. And also a running back with good vision can really mess guys up because your gap or your gap control sometimes doesn't matter because a guy can, you know, jump cut backside or keep your front side, or maybe he does both. So it was my favorite to do that. And it's also impressive that Ben has been able to get this team, this offense this quickly to improve on the run game to where they are at a high level doing every different type of running game scheme, whether it's zone or the gap schemes or the ISOs and things that they do. So I'd hate to be a defensive lineman having to prepare for that because, as you said, even with the premier pass rushers, they're sending guys backside to cut them. They're, you know, leaving them free. You know, sometimes you got to figure out if it's play action or if they really handed it off. So it's something that, man, again, I'll say it again this week. I wish I was playing in this offense because it looks amazing to be a part of.
It does. It looks amazing. And here we are again with a Bears-Packers week. From the last time that they played a week ago to now, with the stakes continuing to be high, the Bears still have an opportunity not just to win the North, but to win the NFC, at least from a seeding standpoint. What's this like for you? Like, because it feels like to me, as someone who's been an observer of this for a while, that the level of confidence is matching the level of excitement. And that for me is fun. As an alum and someone who's played a bunch of games in this rivalry, what do you feel like?
Yeah, confidence is key, especially within this rivalry. And when it comes to the NFC as well, man, it just is reminiscent to 2010 where we went up there and we had a chance to knock them out of the playoffs and secure home field advantage. Now, we ended up getting it anyway, but you don't want to leave it up to the rest of the NFL or NFC to kind of shake out those things. And so the way that they're playing is confident. And I think it's key when it comes to the confidence in playing against the Packers that that they're not tucking their tails and being like, oh, man, we're not confident that we can actually beat this team. So I think that confidence that they're playing with, that they have within the locker room and just the momentum that they have going is a key component to this game coming up because a lot is at stake and they have to control their own destiny. And when it comes to it, it's a sense of urgency to where, yeah, let's knock them. Let's knock them out of, let's knock it out of the park this weekend on Saturday because, you know, the stakes, especially within the NFC, you want to get that home field advantage or possibly even a bye at some point, depending on how it shakes. But you want to be able to control your own destiny when it comes to that and not leave it up to one team winning or losing and possibly because of this or that.
Matt, as always, man, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much for joining us. Hopefully when you join us next week, we are talking about really, really good things as it pertains to the Bears.
Yeah, hey, we don't got to hope. It's going to happen.
This week. Okay.
I'm confident. They got me confident. You know what I mean?
All right. Appreciate you, man. I love hearing that. All right, man. We'll talk to you.
All right.
That's Matt Forte.
He's fully on board.
It's great.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, there, it's now a level of, okay, yeah, we're not walking into this thing just hoping to survive it.
Right.
Now you're walking into this thing going, we can win it. And you guys know we can win it. So it makes it even more fun. Let's talk running game.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
Let's get the defensive ends perspective. The Bears are doing all sorts of stuff. And you heard Big Ant talk with Matt about it. The idea of the trap blocks, wham blocks, them running wide receivers at guys.
Fortunately,
cutting.
I've got a couple of knee sleeves on right now, so I feel prepared for this conversation already. Because I rarely leave the house without my knees bandaged up anyway, so I think I'm ready.
All right, good. Someone who has dealt with this will tell you what it's like to deal with it and why the Bears are being so successful that there's an outside shot that both running backs can get to 1,000 yards. We'll talk about all of that next here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's Manungai. And Manungai, a good start to this possession. 9.5 yards up the middle before Carson Schlesinger can make the stop.
Again, getting some really, really good blocks in there. Just a quick trap block inside. Remember, we talked about it. Joe Tooney, Drew Dolman, Jonah Jackson, guard, center, guard. I mean, Ben Johnson spoke so highly of him. Not just as good football, smart guys. Smart guys playing good football.
Bears knew they had to invest in the interior of that offensive line. They did, retooling that line.
Smart guys that are having a lot of fun punishing defenders. We will talk about that with Big Ant momentarily. We're giving you a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Summer of 99 Festival at Credit Union One Amphitheater Saturday, July 18th. The lineup includes Limp Bizkit, Cypress Hill, Seven Dust, Kittle and Puddle of Mud. Wait, Kittle and Puddle of Mud. B caller number 6. I never heard of Kittle. Puddle of Mud, yeah. Not Ron Kittle.
Sorry, George.
You even grab the microphone, Tanny. not George, but Kittle. I got to put them in on my iTunes to see what comes up. And Puddle of Mud. B caller 6 to the Scores contest line, which is 312-540-0670. When you hear this,
a brother like me is going insane. Insane in the membrane. In the brain. In the brain. Insane in the membrane.
Shut up, Effie.
So the next time you hear that, call the contest line. If you're calling number 6, we will hook you all the way up. All right, Big Ant. Whenever you're here, I like to talk football.
All right.
You know, that's not a weird thing. We've been doing this in one venue or
good
another.
Good football convos when I'm not here, too.
Yeah, for 10 years. But I mean, you and I.
Right.
Right? Yeah. But specifically, I'm so happy that you're here because over the last couple of days, I've enjoyed watching Bears Twitter, Bears Instagram, Bears TikTok, just loving on Jonah Jackson and Drew Dolman and what they're doing in the trap game against run defense. So walk me through what this is like for a defensive end. You play defensive end in the NFL and obviously at the University of Iowa, and I'm sure there were people trying to cut you back in Bolingbrook. Small guys like me were like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take that man's knees out because he's not going to be throwing me 20 yards backwards. So what's this like if you're a defensive end?
Part of the thing that's really frustrating about it and difficult is because there's such variety to the Bears' run game. You look at so many different times throughout that game, and Myles Garrett was obviously the focal point for many of us watching it, but of course the focal point for the Bears' offense and the way that they wanted to attack the Browns' defense. And to do everything in their power to slow Myles Garrett down, they did it. And the running away from him was a big aspect of that. But even when the ball wasn't going towards Myles Garrett, they wanted to just have people in his legs constantly and to make sure that he was going to be slowed down enough to not just completely wreck shop. And so they do that by alignment and by individuals who aren't even lined up near him, but to have folks attacking him below the waist, consistently coming from all different angles, just to put a little bit of hesitation in him. But then you also have enough action coming back at a player like Myles Garrett or at either edge, where if there's action going away from you, then a lot of times you'll sort of slow play it. Shoulders will square up. You'll shuffle from the backside as the defender, just wondering whether or not there's going to be some sort of a jet sweep or a reverse action that's coming at you. And so it puts you in a position where you're not chasing as hard from the backside of the play. And that's where pretty frequently a lot of times you'll see strips and tackles for loss, because as ball carriers are trying to feature that little cutback lane that the Bears have been so good at on outside zone, then if that backside defender isn't chasing as hard, then it really puts you in a position to set up that little cutback lane win. Like I was talking about the detail of DeAndre Swift and the way he's running this season, where a lot of times you have to be able to set that up, working laterally for a moment, figure out what exactly is your landmark or your target point as a back before you get vertical with some urgency. And DeAndre Swift has been really good at that this season. But then you also have the interior of the line of scrimmage as well, because if you get defensive tackles like Mason Graham,
who got absolutely obliterated,
got tea kettled. He got tea kettled by Jonah Jackson.
I felt really bad for the young man because I don't know what he was expecting, but he got hit by a train.
Yeah, I don't know if the top of his head hit the ground first or his neck or both or what, but yeah, he didn't see it coming. But part of what happens for defensive tackles is you're accustomed to working laterally. When you get a few zone schemes that sort of get you on skates and you're running sideways, and it feels a bit like elephants on parade, just running laterally, and then you do see this void. Like, we got zone play, and then there's a void. So, let me get upfield. But your eyes aren't disciplined at that point to say that there's this opportunity to penetrate, but I got to dip the play side shoulder so this collision that's about to happen doesn't catch me as flush. When you prepare for it during the week, you get into maybe a 9-on-7 period, an inside run period, where you know, all right, they're going to work some trap scheme at us, and so you're more prepared to either hammer back into that trap block coming at you, or at the snap of the football to really fly up the field and see if you can get into the backfield and just disrupt it. Maybe you make the play, but in the least, you're hoping to force the running back to belly, where his path can't come straight downhill, like Matt Forte was talking to us about how quick hitting those trap schemes can be. You're hoping as a back where you can take your path north and south as quickly as possible when the hole declares. But when you get penetration, it can throw off the path of the running back. And that's when that play where Mason Graham got trapped, the Bears had shown some zone earlier in the game. And you can tell where Graham is a guy that anticipates the snap count. Even as a rookie, he anticipates the snap count really well. He's got the ability to penetrate, but he didn't get off the ball as quickly because he had gotten overreached by the center, by Drew Dahlman, a couple of times in that game. So you're a little bit more hesitant. There's not the same force that you're bringing towards the football at the snap of it. And because he was a little bit late getting off the rock, that's where Jonah Jackson just caught him flush before he even knew what was hitting him.
Is there anything to, when it comes to gap control, depending on what type of defense you're running, because I know that a lot of times the idea is like, don't get out of your gap, because once you get out of your gap, then the other guy has to get out of their gap, and then there's going to be a fundamental breakdown of a play. Is there a feeling of when you see a zone run game to go, uh-oh, I see what this is, I need to now vacate my gap or establish the gap somewhere else on this play? How does that work in the mind as the play is going on?
It depends on the scheme of the defense. Some guys will coach the front seven to fight across the face of the offensive line no matter what, because your gap is your responsibility. And if your gap is voided, then that's your fault. And then everyone else has to sort of fold or react to it late. Some schemes just want you getting up the field and creating havoc regardless. So if you get overreached, then just keep working up the field. Get into the backfield. Backdoor that block as quickly as possible. And then you can be in a position where the linebackers, as a defensive lineman, if your gap is voided, but you're up the field, forcing the back to belly, and you really got to come tight off the hip of that blocker if they overreach you, then the linebacker should be able to still sort of take up for you, basically. If you were supposed to be a B-gap guy and the tackle overreaches you, now you're a C-gap defender, and the linebacker is supposed to be able to read that on the run to still take up the gap responsibility that you've now voided. But it can be a really difficult thing to have that in sync because the linebacker doesn't know all the time pre-snap whether or not you're going to get overreached as a defensive lineman. And they've got their own things, their king, the snap of the football through to the running back and the keys they're reading on the interior of that line. And one of the things that Tremaine Edmonds, before the injury, but for much of this season, why I feel like this is definitely the best season we'd seen Tremaine Edmonds have as a member of the Bears, and maybe the best season of his career, not only the playmaking and the interceptions, but the way he's been reacting downhill towards the run in the Bears defense. And you don't face as many run schemes in the NFL, really anywhere in football, as what the Bears have with the versatility, the variety that they throw at you, with the window dressing and the eye candy that really tests your discipline and puts you in conflict. But to be able to react downhill as quickly as possible is why Edmonds has been so effective. And he's grown into this role, especially more so when they moved him to the will after you got to a certain point in the season. And he's just reacting downhill with more decisiveness and more force. One of the things that does is it peels one of those blockers off of the interior of your defensive line, because either you're going to get into the backfield as a linebacker and make the play, or that offensive lineman gets a chance to come off of his scoop or his double and try to work his way up to you. But if you're at the second level just waiting on him, then that allows them to advance up on you. So that's where, because the Bears have an offense that sometimes you're working laterally as a defender to react, sometimes you've got to meet force with force as the run scheme is coming at you, and sometimes you don't know who's got the rock. So there's all these different elements working against the opponent, because there's conflict both mentally and force that can come at you physically, and it makes them one of the most not only statistically effective run games in the sport, but because they don't only outthink you, but we see at times, like we were talking about Jackson and Dahlman and Tooney, certainly Darnell Wright as well, they can outmuscle you at the point of attack too.
Let's hear Ben Johnson talk exactly about that as it pertains to the guys in the middle of his line and what Jonah Jackson did to Mason Graham.
With the way your offensive line has played really since the bye week, how would you characterize Drew Dahlman's place in the middle of everything, the run game working, all the stuff that happens at the line of scrimmage, and especially working with Caleb? Like, how would you describe his impact?
Yeah, significant. He wears a lot of hats in terms of what we ask him to do. He's so smart. There's really not a whole lot we get stumped by. It's rare that we've gone into our post-game film review and we feel like we're mistargeted. He takes a lot of pride in that. He understands his role to play. And then he's very big part of what we're doing on the ground game. You know, he's excellent in terms of this wide zone scheme that we're looking to implement. He runs off the ball. I think he does a fantastic job in that regard. I mean, I think it carries over to that whole interior of the offensive line. I think they're playing at a super high level. I mean, I went to sleep last night just thinking about that trap block that Jonah Jackson had with about 2 minutes left in half. You know, he absolutely annihilates the three technique. And, you know, things like that just put a little smile on my face. So Drew's a huge part of what we're doing, but I can't say enough good things about that entire offensive line.
Let's talk about instilling toughness. I mean, I was thinking about it too.
Thinking about the trap.
Hey, whatever gets you to sleep. I'm sure Ben.
Sleep last night, just thinking about that trap block that Jonah Jackson had. Things like that just put a little smile on my face.
Hey, yo.
Look. If you want to go to sleep peacefully, You think happy thoughts. And the happy thought is Jonah Jackson de-cleating Mason Graham.
Whatever floats your boat, man.
That's right. Or find your lost remote. I learned that from Andre 3000. So how would you say that the Bears have said, we're going to scheme it, but we also need you to be tough? I feel like that's from Ben and from Dan Roshar.
The early portion of the season where there was some production in the run game, but they weren't really moving people, that my curiosity was, because I felt confident, because Ben Johnson felt confident, that they were going to be able to scheme up the run. And as that, especially the interior of that offensive line, it just worked together more and more. They've gotten to the point where they're really moving the line of scrimmage. And not every successful run game is about physical dominance. Not every successful run game is saying, we got to move the defense back. A lot of times it's about creating angles. It's about getting your hips in between yourself, your defender, and the ball carrier, just to have a crease that can be exploited. But the Bears can do both. The Bears do have that domineering sort of mentality where Jonah Jackson puts folks in the dirt. Darnell Wright puts folks in the dirt. Joe Tooney will put folks in the dirt. And Drew Dahlman, my impression of him and everything I've seen from him before becoming a Chicago Bear has been his athleticism is out of this world for a center. And so that outside zone run scheme, he's going to be great the way he can overreach not only noses, but guards and outrun linebackers into space. Drew Dahlman is a physical beast this season. Drew Dahlman is planting folks in the ground this year. And, it's hard not to believe that, yes, Dan Roshar and what the Bears are doing on offense have been able to accentuate an aspect of his game that's now blossoming, because it's not only for him about his athleticism. He is able to physically move folks, and it's not always in this one-on-one scenario, but getting hip to hip, getting shoulder to shoulder, working in unison, and knowing whether it's verbal and sometimes nonverbal, like we were talking to Big Cat about a couple of weeks ago, how you time up, being able to have that flat back, that pad level to start moving a defender, and then the timing of when your teammate is able to take over that block before you start to get up to the next level. All those things are now just at such an elite level for the way this line is operating. I don't know how many of them are going to have the opportunity at the Pro Bowl, but there will definitely be several Bears who are getting major votes to go there because they're operating at a really elite level.
That is some sexy football right there. Yeah. And we didn't have Big Cat to do the In the Trenches segment, which we created. But we'll recreate that at some point. We're going to keep talking about this offensive line because now, for those of us that traffic in geek spaces, and Big Ann is one of those people.
I am.
Which is great. Out. Caleb has named the Avengers that protect him. You will hear his thoughts on that next here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I call my O-linemen the Avengers. And then you got those guys up front. they give me enough time with enough space with the receivers we got and special talent we have. We'll go make plays.
Caleb Williams has an army in front of him. He has an army of Avengers in front of him. By the way, the new teaser trailer to Avengers Doomsday has come out, and a lot of people are in their feelings about it.
Now, when is the actual premiere? When do we expect
this summer?
Summer 26.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the teaser trailers are going to come out, and they can share some of the things that are going to happen.
So they're done shooting already then, if it's coming out this summer.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think July, right?
All right. Man, that's sooner than I thought. I mean, they're all getting really old, so I guess they better hurry up. If it's not happening now, then when?
They can kind of do it whenever.
I guess they can CGI it. I mean, Hugh Jackman.
Oh, no, December. They've got till December. So December 18th is when it'll come out. But some of the teaser trailers have come out, and some people were like, oh, I thought that guy was not a part of this thing.
They should not be surprised.
They should not be. And with the multiversal stuff, and I would say to you, if you are someone who is upset with the first teaser trailer that has come out, I would say you should go back to the very end of Endgame. Go back to the very end of Endgame and you will feel better about things, perhaps.
About continuity of plot kind of thing, you mean?
Yes. Okay. Yes. There's stuff there that would lead you to be like
breadcrumbs.
All you have to do is go, oh yeah, I guess he did have to have a life then.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other big picture stuff. He did live. I get it.
I wasn't mad at him.
He didn't fix racism, though. And I'd have figured that Steve. I'd have figured that Steve went back.
Do we think he was capable of that?
I mean, I guess he tried with giving Sam the shield in this universe. But I'm saying in the universe that he went back to, he could have made some changes.
I mean, Sam didn't have the super serum, though. I don't know how long he would have lasted with the shield back then.
Yeah, I mean, Sam should probably take it now, but he won't. And I'm like, why not?
Right.
It's been proven safe. You have two really good examples of it working, Cap and Bucky. Well, one, because then he was manipulated. But that's a whole other story. Anyway, Caleb has some thoughts on the Avengers that are in front of him. He has thought about this quite a bit. Here's what he's got for you.
Like I said, I call my O-lineman the Avengers. And so all of them collectively, you know, form a very, you know, formidable team to go out there and go to war with. But Drew Dahlman is, I call Drew Dahlman the Hulk. He's the brains and all of it. But, you know, when he gets out there and, you know, on the field, he's, you know, he's strong as can be, you know, fast and you know, the right guy for the job, you know, for us and my future and our future here. So I'm excited, you know, for that. And I'm happy that he's here with us and with me. And, you know, we're going to keep growing together and we're going to keep, you know, finding ways to help each other out, you know, in this tenure that we have together. Ozzy is obviously he's not really an Avengers, but Wolverine. I have Doctor Strange as left guard with Joe. I have obviously Hulk as center. I have the Red Hulk as Jonah. And then I have Darnell's Bucky because he has the one arm.
What's the challenge this week?
That moved all too quickly. What makes Joe to be Doctor Strange?
Yeah, that guy's from stats to longevity and you know how he is. I mean, he's Doctor Strange. He just, you know, for some reason, everything just kind of moves how he moves and on the football field and things like that. So it's you know, that's it. I feel like, you know, all the guys kind of like, you know, that one for Joe, and I think it was fitting.
So through the Avengers, are you Samuel L?
I don't know who I am. They'll figure that out. But the Bears.
Shout out to Philip Thompson from the Tribune for being like, hold on. We got to make sure that we get some continuity things here correct. Why are you Doctor Strange? Like, that sort
I'm surprised.
Of thing.
Like, I feel like Finley would have normally been one to be able to lean into that a little bit. Yeah.
I mean, guys are trying to get stuff done. I'm not mad at Patrick, but I'm happy that Phil was like, hey, some serious Marvel stuff that we got to get done here. And it was done. That's not bad. I mean, he knows them better than I do, but that's pretty good.
But he doesn't know the Avengers better than you do.
Oh.
I don't know. Maybe. You never know. Like,
was there one of them that surprised you?
This guy with the one arm.
I thought that was brilliant. That was brilliant of making him Bucky with the one arm. And Bucky's got the super soldier serum, so that actually plays out. He did mention Wolverine, though, right in there?
Now, Ozzy.
Now, look, that is accurate, even though it's not MCU continuity as of yet. It will be eventually in the next 3 years. It will be. That would be the only beef that someone like me, who is steeped in the history of the comic book stuff, would be like, well, you know, technically he's not actually an Avenger in the MCU. He's not. He will be, though, because that's where all of this is heading.
Now, Ozzy is much taller than Hugh Jackman is a tall Wolverine.
Hugh Jackman,
but the comic Wolverine is 5'3", right?
Yes, the comic Wolverine is 5'3".
And my contract says I must say on Speaks' behalf, he's got a huge Ackman.
I'm sure Speaks will appreciate you pointing that out. Yeah.
Yes, that you're on point with doing that. But yes, that Hugh Jackman, I think, is 6'2", 6'3". And so him playing Wolverine was kind of hilarious because it kind of takes away some. But I thought he was great at it, so it didn't bother me.
No,
I also enjoyed Henry Cavill playing Wolverine.
For yes, the Cavalrine, just for those brief moments.
Yeah, for 40 seconds of
right.
that.
Yeah.
Sounds great to me. So yes, I would give Caleb an A on that.
Avengers,
Something with the Ultron is correct.
No Superdog?
Yeah, the people who didn't get the whole crypto thing, crypto will be back in the Supergirl movie. The trailer for that is out too. Looks pretty good.
Then there's a super dog. Who came up with a super dog?
The original creators of Superman did.
The Green Lantern?
That's a don't get me started on that.
The who?
Shout out to Aaron Pierre. Is that the guy that's gonna be playing Jon Stewart as Green Lantern in the Lanterns television show that will be coming out this year. Mm. It looks like finally they're going to get that thing right, which does my heart well because okay. that's like my favorite thing are the Green Lantern core.
Now, how did you feel about the guy from The Rookie and his version
Nathan?
Of Green Lantern?
Oh, he did an incredible job.
Okay.
That is canon. All that right. haircut
yeah.
is canon, and no one likes Guy Gardner. Other Lanterns hate Guy Gardner.
Okay.
And for a reason. Yeah. When we come back, we'll add to our Avengers. We'll bring Matt Bowen onto the show. I'll think about which Avenger he is,
oh,
and
okay.
I'll share it with him.
Right.
No, he's got more powers. Matt's got actual powers. I'm probably the Hawkeye of this situation. Next, here on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.